Madden's coming in a few minutes just to give you some very brief help on how to lead this study. Now, there are a number of people around that would like to be in study, and we should have some indication of this from the cards tonight. If some of you are having a struggle in getting the study started, we'd be glad to try to help you, like I just talked with a boy a few minutes ago that would like to be in a Bible study. He's a freshman. And also, you know, out in the dorms, we already know of areas where there are people that maybe their study's full or they've already got one going and we'd like to get some new ones started. Now, what we're suggesting you use are these studies. Now, you can use anything you want to as far as that goes. If you've got something going, fine. But one of the things that we've thought would help you is if you can use these studies. They're designed they're really designed for university students, and it'll give you something very specifically and concretely to do. You know, some people want to start a Bible study, but they really don't know if they got in one exactly what to do other than read some verses and talk about them. And so this will give you a guideline, and another thing that's good about it is it doesn't make any difference where the people are. If they're non-Christians, you go over the gospel. If they're already Christians, it's aimed towards getting them really growing. And so regardless of where people are, I think it won't hurt them to get in a Bible study like this. So I want Chuck to take a few minutes with you and just show you something. Now, for example, in the first lesson, the best thing to do in getting a study going is just, you know, you can go around. If you need some help in knowing what to say, I'd just go to some people and say, hey, would you like to be in a Bible discussion group? It'll just last 1 hour a week. You know, you got 168 hours. It'll only take 1 hour. There are no experts in the group. It's just students right here on this floor or university students, and that's what I am. See, and you can just tell them that and say, we're going to get together, and we want to really see what the Bible has to say. Now, some people, maybe in church you've had some exposure, maybe you haven't had any at all. But we want to really look into what God's Word has to say about our lives. And so what we'll be doing is following a little study that's designed for university students. And each week we'll do some looking into it, we'll come together and discuss it. And so that's basically where I try to get, you know, people in Bible study. And just tell them that here are some things that we think will really be helpful to you. And then each week we'll just study one chapter. And so you take the book and then let them buy their book. Tell them, you know, when they get together. It's going to cost you a buck. But, you know, if you just can't afford it, let me know and we can get it for you. But this way, if they purchase it, they're much more likely to not throw it away and do something with it. And so that's basically the way we'll do the studies, and just week by week. And what I've asked Chuck to do is just share with you a little bit about what you do once they come back after you've gotten the study together and, you know, they've gone through the study. It's very important what you do with that study once they come back, you know, as to where they might want to come back. And I think Chuck's got some very good things to share about how you just take a section and ask questions. So he'll talk with you about how to discuss it. But those are maybe some things in helping you get started. Now, we will be delighted to try to help find some people, like from these cards. There'll be some that may be on the card, but most of you already know one or two people. So you don't have to have a big group. I mean, if you can find one other person on your floor that would be willing, well, then you can start a Bible study. You can do it person to person, or you can do it in small groups. So these are some things that may help you. Chuck, if you will, share with them a little bit on just how to go about asking questions. Now, our main purpose in this...
Can we get a Bible study for everybody?
Yeah, we can. Just grab them off the shelf back there. The main thing we want to do in this tonight is that just in a few minutes is give you some survival help. In other words, if you want to go start a study tomorrow night, you're going to have enough help that you can get started. Now, we'll be having some things along, and there are any number of people who would be glad to help you. Chuck, it'd probably be better to get those revised ones rather than this one, because that's what we'll have in the future, and they're a little better study. Yeah, get them out of your box. And so the main objective tonight is just survival help. In other words, you're going to have enough help when you leave here that I think you can survive. Chuck will point out some principles to you and just show you what to do. But one of the big things that make these studies effective is get them to do the study, if at all possible. Now, one of the ways If you just tell them, now, all of you do study, they may come back next week not having any of it done. And you tell them, now, don't you not show up if you didn't get to do it. But one of the best things is to go by earlier in the week and say, hey, you got to do any of that study? Well, no, I haven't. Well, if you got a few minutes, we could just answer two or three of the questions together. But try to get them on it early enough, because I've found through the years that most people aren't disciplined, and, you know, they don't have an accounting time in which they have to have an exam or something, so it's easy to put off. But if you can, encourage them. Say, for your own, you may never have really studied the Bible on your own. You can do this in about 45 minutes. I mean, if you want to just take, block out some time, you know, once a week to do it, or you can answer a couple of questions, two or three questions a day or something and do it. But encourage them to do the study. They'll get so much more out of it if they'll do the study. And fact is, the first time in the study, you may want to answer the first couple of questions together. Say, all right, now let me just show you how to do this. And then point out that it's Job 42:2, that's chapter 42 and verse 2. You know, I mean, just a simple thing. So you may want to answer a couple of questions when they're with you. Okay? Now here is book one, and then Chuck will share with you. Once they've done their study, when they come back, basically, how to ask questions. You might want to just take a few notes on this. Chuck?
Now you may talk about how to ask questions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't think you need to.
No. Okay, the Bible study that you have in your hand is the same as this one, knowing God, except the one you have is slightly revised. So the questions aren't exactly the same in some parts. But the when I lead a study, and I started leading question and answer Bible study like this when I was a student out of Texas A&M. I became a Christian just before high school, and I'd never been involved in a Bible study nor led a Bible study. But when I was at A&M, I got involved my senior year in a question and answer type Bible study. And then the next year, that was my first senior year. In my second senior year, I led some Bible studies. And I would say that initially, the Bible studies that I led, I would, you know, lead, I don't think I did all that good of a job. But somehow people seem to learn from the studies. So then when I was in the Marine Corps, we had some Bible studies that I led in the barracks, and then down in the main side, what we call it. And then when I was in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy, we led Bible studies, and then University of California at Irvine, and then at Cal Poly Pomona, we just used question answer Bible studies. They're very it's an extremely good way to get started in doing Bible study. It contains information, but it's presented in a form that a person can see it, he can grasp it, he can understand it. All of the initiative is not left to him to understand what the Bible is saying. He's got a lot of help right here. So it's a fantastic way to start. The leader of the Bible study, your primary job is not instruction as much as it's motivation. You're not the one that's kind of teaching them. God's doing that as they are exposed to His Word. But your primary responsibility, I think, is to do it in such a way that they are motivated. They enjoy the study. And that's your responsibility. Now, how do you do that? Well, number one is you don't assume anything. When I leave a Bible study, I start page one. I read every word of every page. I read page one. This is Knowing God Through a Purpose of Life Bible Study. This is book one. This is put out by a group of people here at Norman. And I flip over and I'll read the fact that, you know, unless otherwise indicated, so I'll read that stuff. But what I'm talking about is everything that has to do with the Bible study. I don't assume that they know anything. Well, I think Max was explaining how to find. I'll flip over question one when you get that far. You know, Joe, you're talking about Job 42:2, what that means. Look up the book. Here's the chapter. Look up the index of the Bible. Here's where you can find it if you don't know where the book is. Here's where to find the books. 42 means the chapter. It's the big title. The little verse means a little number under each chapter title. And just go through the thing. And just don't say, hey, does anybody not know how to look up a verse? Because immediately a guy feels intimidated. I mean, you know, I don't even know that. And everybody else knows it, see, and then he feels bad. So don't assume, just assume that they don't know. And go through and make it comfortable. This is the way we do it, you know, and so forth and so on. Now, these books, some people call this Job. I think the real title is Job. you know, sometimes are hard, these names are hard to pronounce because they're Hebrew names or Aramaic language or something like that, so they're kind of funny names, but, you know, you just don't. But you do not want to communicate that everybody in the group knows a lot or that you should know a lot if you're in this group. You just don't assume anything. As Bible, when I prepare the Bible study myself, and I, even though I, if I were going to go up tonight and lead Knowing God's Character, Book 1, page 5, I would, before I would go out and lead that study, I would go through each question and look at it again, read the question, read what I've got written down for the answer, read the questions that I've got on it and so forth, because it's very essential for me as a leader to know what is it that this study is trying to communicate. And when we wrote these studies, that we had a purpose in mind, that there was something that we were trying to communicate. We just didn't pick six questions out of the air and a half dozen verses and kind of put them on the same page. There was a reason, and there was a reason for the order. So one of your jobs as the leader is to figure out what is it that we're trying to communicate in the whole study. What is it about the whole study that we're trying to get at? And I always write down, in my own self, I will write down somewhere in my Bible study what it is I'm trying to get across, an objective, to help these people see God more clearly. And I'll just write that down right at the top to myself. And I don't say, okay, again, tonight, the objective of this Bible study is this, to help you see God more clearly. I don't share that with them, but that's important. I've got to know that myself so that I know where I'm going. All my questions will kind of focus on that point. So that's what I'm trying to aim for throughout the night. Now, any questions so far on that? Now, one thing about it, see, when you're leading a question and answer Bible study, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be the authority. You don't have to answer all the questions. To lead the study, all you have to do is kind of know what this is talking about and try to communicate what's here. You don't have to be a theologian to know everything. And there are going to be some questions come up that you can't answer. Okay, Max wanted me to share with you how I would lead, we lead a Bible study. Now, let me share this. There is no school solution on how to lead a Bible study. What you do is you lead a study that is effective. And there are different ways to do that. For instance, I have led many, many studies with grown men. I'm talking about businessmen who are independent businessmen. They are sharp people. But they are so spiritually immature and so spiritually unused to this information. See that sweet thing? But there's... I'll just get it right. Peace. But they're so spiritually immature and unknowledgeable that they just don't know anything. And so one group I had with these businessmen, there was a doctor in it, a couple of insurance salesmen, and one guy was had a refinished Mercedes Benz. That was the thing he bought and refinished and sold Mercedes Benz. I think it's different people. But we meet at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we went through the things: question one, question two, question three, question four. Because these guys were so ignorant of the scripture that they didn't know enough to be able to share conceptually. You know, I could ask them a question that would kind of capsulize this. You know, all these at least four verses. I'd kind of give me a good question. I'd say, how about this one? And they just couldn't put it together enough. So we just went question one, question two, question three. You know, Larry, what'd you get for question one? Okay, Matt, what'd you get for question two? And that's how we went around the room. That will work. I mean, that will work. And if your group somehow is just kind of struggling and discussion is dying, then you might want to try that for a while. I generally try to, if I start that way, I generally try to graduate into a conceptual type study. Now, knowing God's character. By the way, when you lead a study, have you ever seen a little social chart, whatever they call it? I had a sociologist do this one time, but if you got a group of people sitting in the room, then this person here, he may be the leader, see? And so he asked the question to Sam. He asked one question. Well, then Sam will answer him. One time. See? Well, then he'll ask a question to Jim. And then Jim will answer him, see? And then he will answer a question to this guy. And then he will answer him. And then he'll answer one to this guy. Then this guy does the same. So he asks, you know, then he asks one to him, see? And this guy will answer back. That's a poor study. Or I should say that's poor group dynamics. That may not be a poor study, but that's poor group dynamics. Eventually what you're looking for is something like this. That's a very authoritarian, leader-oriented study where there's very little sharing. So what you want is something like this. Eventually it looks like this, and this will come if you kind of have to know what you're doing and you've got patience. You've got to have patience. You throw the thing out to nobody. Just kind of throw it out there. Listen, what do you guys think about the power of God? What, you know, what's the Bible say about the power of God? Just kind of throw it out there. So nobody says anything. So you just sit there. And nobody says anything. And you just kind of sit there. And nobody says anything. But finally somebody says, well, what do you mean? Well, some of these verses, the first couple of verses are talking about the power of God. What does it say about the power of God? So then this guy, he'll get ticked off or something. He'll say, well, it says that, and see, he'll speak to you. Well, it says he can do anything. Okay, that's good. See, then you say, well, what are some of the things he can do? And you just throw it out to him again. And then this guy says, well, this guy will speak back to you. See, everybody will come back to you initially. And so this guy says, well, he can, he can do anything physically. He can make a world. He can, he can do anything. So then this guy says, yeah, but how do we know he made the world? Or something like this. But this guy gets started, he asks his question to this guy. Well, then this guy gets back to him, and then he goes back to him. And then this guy says, well, wait a minute. And that's what you want right there. And when these guys, when you begin to have stuff like this, this guy's talking this way, he's back to him. This guy's going over to here, coming back, and this guy's over to here, and that's what you want. You want, who am I interrupting him? But you want this total involvement. If everything is back to you, then that's bad. But if it's going across the room, then that's exactly what you want. That's beautiful. That's exactly what you're looking for. That is a Bible discussion. See, that's no longer leader-oriented. You're talking about the issue out here, see? And that's exactly what you want. Okay, now any question about that? Now you can have somebody in your room draw you one of these sociograms, and then when you walked out of the room, you could tell who dominated the Bible study. Because he spoke to more people, and more people spoke to him. You could tell who dominated the Bible study. And I've had people sit in the Bible study and do this before. But do you get the idea of what kind of Bible study, what kind of discussion that you want eventually? And one of the ways that you can do this is when you throw it out to the group and leave it. Just leave it dangling out there, embarrassingly so. And it'll be an eternity, and nobody will say anything because they're all afraid. And you just kind of, well, you repeat it and leave it hanging out there, see? And eventually somebody will pick up on it. One other point is to try, in leading a study, one of your most important functions, there'll be two or three of them, but one of your most important functions is to ask questions. You've got to be able to ask questions. You're not a teacher per se, like Jesus on the Mount, you know, where he sat down, he came up, and everybody came and sat down, and who spoke? Jesus. He's the only one who spoke, see? That's not your primary role. Your primary role is a lead. You lead them so that they discover. You don't tell it to them. You try to help them to discover it, and that's your one of your functions. This type of Bible study where you're teaching them all, it can be a good study, but more than likely it won't be. It'll be kind of dry, and it's like sitting in Sunday school class again or something. But this study where you're asking good questions, and they are discovering, and they are wrestling with these things themselves. I mean, they're fighting all these issues, and occasionally they get in an argument about it. Well, that's okay unless it's Bible, you know. But as long as you can keep this thing out here in the battle in the front, this guy says something, this guy says something, then they kind of get in an argument. He says, now, wait a minute, what's the issue? What are we talking about? And so this guy, well, I'm talking about this, and you say, well, okay, do you agree with that? And you keep it out here. Don't let two people just kind of square off. But you, like, you get these guys, they just back and forth here. So you can stop that. You can have input. Now, wait a minute. What's the issue? What are we talking about? What do you think the issue is? Let's say, wait a minute. Now, Jim, what do you think they're talking about? And so then you got the group back in. But you don't want to sit there and ask the question. This guy asked you a question. You said, well, that's really good. Yeah, that's good. Well, that's stuff. Go to number two, I guess. You don't agree. You don't want it all to be the you and back to you, the you and back to you, the you and back to you. You don't want that. Now, any question about that? Yes.
Eventually, toward the end of the press meeting, or what? Leaving, I mean, as the study is over, you want to summarize
yeah,
it correctly, right? But on the question wise, towards the end, you also want to point out the application
right.
of the issue of the study, right?
Yeah, I would point it out. I'd ask that.
Yeah, that's what I leave
them. Okay, let's get into some questions. Generally, there are three types of questions that you want to ask, and they're very easy. The way you can remember the type of questions is in our leadership meeting here that we used to have a little, you know, they call them DUAs, and so we call them do what, you know, we got do what, and so we kind of, that helps us to remember do what. So anyway, they're do what questions. Bing Crosby came out with this do what, and one of them is a discovery, and then there's an understanding, and then this is an application. Okay, now the discovery question is what, et cetera. You're looking for, here. You're looking for facts. Now, what did Moses say, or what did God tell Moses? So you're looking high, Cindy. You're looking for facts. See. Okay, what did Cindy forget? You're looking for the facts. It's okay, pal. Okay, now, and then you're, and the understanding, you're looking, in discovery, you ask questions that will give you the facts. In understanding, you ask questions like why or how that will give you insight in, or, you know, just to make it simple, that will give you understanding, and help you understand it better. Application questions, you're looking, you know, for an application. How do you apply this? Let me give you one, my discovery question. Let's open your Bible study to page 5. Mine's page 5. I don't know what yours is. It's the first page, knowing God's character. And it's the first page there. Just open it up there. Okay. What God is all-powerful. Is it the greatness of God? Is that your first thing? Okay, now, then God is all-powerful, right? And God is all-knowing. Okay, my discovery question in this section, my first one, was, let's see, now this is over, let me find out where I'm picking up here. Let me find a good section here. Okay, let's turn over to chapter 2. That's what we're doing. God reveals himself. And I'll use some questions off of this. Chapter 2, God reveals himself. Is your first question, what are the following verses teach us that God created? My page 11. What's your page?
Page 14.
Page 14. First question? Everybody got page 14? Okay, now, my discovery question on this was, what is God created? Just kind of throw that out. What is God created? Well, heaven, earth, man, woman, everything, man, you know, visible, invisible, so you can just, you know, run all over the place with that one. Okay, that wasn't really important. That doesn't do much for the study, except for the fact that I just wanted to realize that God did it all. Now, then my next question, my understanding question, that was my discovery question. My understanding question was this, why do you think God created? Now, see, that got no answer to it. But that will force them, that's a why question, that will force them to gain some insight into the character of God. And that's my whole purpose, see? I'm trying to get them to understand the character of God. So I'll ask them understanding, why do you think God created man? Why do you think God created? Blank. What is there about God that would motivate him to create another person or the world or whatever. Well, see, that helps. That's my understanding question. I had another understanding question. What does creation reveal about God? Okay, you walk out and here's this beautiful woods out here, your mountains or whatever. What does that tell you about God? What does it tell us about God? Now, see, I'm trying to get them to gain insight into the character of God. And so I ask them questions, and I just kind of throw that out to the crowd. Okay, you see that? Now, my application question, oh no. I don't think I have an application question.
Hey, sir, you're trying to have an application question for each section?
Not necessarily. If the section lends itself to a good application, then I would. But if it doesn't, then I wouldn't press it. But to me, the major questions that I will ask throughout a study, the most important ones, are the understanding questions. Those are the major questions. And I will try to always have an application question, probably about two of them throughout the study, and always one at the end.
Because that is true what you said, for the reason, if you put a limit on it, 45 minutes or an hour, whichever it is, it's very doubtful you would get past one quarter of the lesson, and then that's why you would come out with 2-3 applications throughout the whole lesson,
right,
the whole chapter.
The thing, and I want them to understand. I want them to know, what did the Bible study say, and what did it mean? What does that mean to us? And then how can you apply that to your life? What change should that bring about in your life? See, now one application, I had this one down as a possible question. How should I respond to the Creator God? See, that was not, I don't know if that's a good one or not, but I have them down here. How should I respond to the Creator God? And that is an application type. What is my, see, here's a, let me ask you another, let me throw this one out. Application question here. Talking about God as Creator. Application question is, if God is Creator, what is my only legitimate response? See, that's a good application question. If God is Creator, what is my only legitimate response? So you can kind of throw that one out. See, nobody says anything. Nobody's going to say anything. So you say, well, what do you think? What do you think? What's my response? If God is, then what is my only right response, legitimate response? So then you kind of hang out one inch and say, well, Tony, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say you're God, and you create, man. How would you want that man to respond to you? And just get, you know, kind of dig that one a little bit. But that's what, that's basically the type of questions that we use. We try to get at the understanding, and then we try to bring out what is the major issue of the chapter. Then at the last question, I would probably ask something like this. I'd go back to my objective of the lesson, and I would say, okay, now let me ask you this. You guys spent, I don't know how much time on the Bible study, 30 minutes, an hour, or something like this. We've been talking about this thing for an hour. What have we learned about God? Because see, God reveals himself. What have we learned about God? And see, that's very, very, I mean, that's what you're there for. And if they can't dig that up, if they can't get that, if they can't walk away from that study saying, yeah, I learned this about God, and somehow it's just kind of an academic exercise that you're all going through, but it's not doing anything to them, or to you either one. So that I would look back at my objective, and my last question would have something to do with the objective. Okay, gang, we've studied this thing for now. We've put 2-3 hours of our lives into this thing. What have we learned about God from this study? And then another question I had down here, I don't know if you'd want to use it, but then, okay, how should that knowledge of God affect the way I live? Things like that. Okay, there's any questions? Yeah.
It's very important. Is it very important to get everyone involved?
Yes, but don't fight that.
No.
I mean, if you got a real quiet type, then don't just harp on them. And another thing,
encourage them.
Yeah. Another thing is don't the biblical word is upbraid. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This is King James. Let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. You know what that means, it upbraideth not? That means God's make fun of it. You come to God and say, boy, God, I need wisdom. Oh, you need wisdom. Oh, you finally admit that, huh? Well, it's about time, you know, dumb. It's about, and he sits here and makes fun of us. And then, okay, I guess I'll help you out a little bit. But upbraideth not means that God doesn't do that way when you come to him. So, well, you don't want to do that way in your Bible study. You don't ever want to make anybody feel uncomfortable, like he's a dumb, or he should have known that, or that was a real bad answer. Now, what happens when a guy gives a doofus answer? You say, well, you know, what do you say? Well, you know, what do you think about God creating? And he says, well, he sure created a mess. Or let's say this. I think he says something is just theologically really off. He says, I think God created because I think he just kind of created and.
Sometimes they might say because he sought, you know, some kind of ego trip.
Yeah, I've heard that put on me, you know, that God had an ego. And he says, well, so then what you want to do is that you don't want to make no comment. That's terrible. That's indifference. A guy says something and it's stupid. And so he said, and so he asked, you know, you don't even respond to it.
But, to somebody else.
Well, you don't want to do that. You don't want to ignore the guy like that. You've got to say, well, that's okay, let's put that, we'll keep that on the table. Let's get some other answers. And then we'll discuss that. But you've got to say something to the guy. He says, you know, a doofus answer. So you think, well, let's put that on the table. Let's keep that out in front here and let's get some other information. What are the rest of you guys think? And then we'll talk about this. But you don't just ignore the guy. If he says something really doofus.
Try to go to the interaction again, try to get that what you're saying.
Well, no, if he says a bad answer, then you don't want to say, boy, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that man. No, you want to say, no, that's wrong. And, you know, you don't want to say that either.
Can you sometimes, I mean, with this one, Chuck, in a situation like that, say, you know, well, I understand, you know, why you think it, but I think here's some other information, or maybe here's some other information you need to consider. Or,
yeah. Yeah, so you can say, okay, that's okay, good, but.
What about asking you some other understanding or discovery questions and kind of, well, maybe just follow that line of logic and say, well, then, could it, you know, it's going to imply some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you said God has an ego, well, then what's that imply about, you know, his concept of God's ego or something like that? I mean, kind of follow that line of logic, would that be good to do something like that? Or would that
in some cases, some
would
cases.
Would that be pointing your finger at him or, you know, I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, in some cases, see, if you start talking about, the Bible study wants to talk about God's ego, then you've kind of taken you've hit the stop sign and turned left. And that's not always, you don't always do that. But
you would want to tie, well, maybe it's kind of the objective.
Yeah, it just makes, okay, now wait, that's one opinion. That's I've heard that before. But let's get some other, you know, let's get some other angles here. What are some other people think? What did you guys, and get all that, but give a definite answer.
Would it also be proper for, say he still didn't understand, but you still went ahead and continue on the lesson,
mm-hmm.
and maybe get with him afterwards on one-on-one type of thing?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be more proper?
Now, see, here's the thing. If you're on a time schedule, I think most of you probably will, but you say, we're going to study the Bible for an hour. Okay. Then that means you're obligated to end it in an hour. So what you can do, a lot of times you can do this. Listen, we've got to end this thing in an hour, so let's get through the chapter. And then if you've got some time, we'll just sit here and talk about that. But you kind of have a moral obligation to stick to the study, and you have a moral obligation to stick to your schedule. Now, if that is the key issue, if someone brings up a gigantic sidetrack, I mean, this is a humongous sidetrack, but everybody's keyed to it. Everybody thinks that's the issue. Then this thing here is like, you know, you might as well read Saturday Evening Post, because that's what they will talk about. And if that's what that's where they are, that's what they're wrestling with, and that's what you need to talk about, because like, that's where they are. And to go over here and discuss these other questions is just, man, it's like reading the Saturday Evening Post. It's just got nothing to do with it. You need to, if that's the issue, then that's what you need to deal with. And we've done it for hours. I started the Bible study the first night, a bunch of pagans, college students, everyone in there pagans.
We started on the first question. Where was Jesus born? And it was answered. I mean, this was just the introduction question, and they answered that part. And 2.5 hours later, we were still on that question. And I mean, the Bible says, but that, they didn't care where Jesus was born. They want to know, how do we know that the Bible is true? The Bible tells us that Jesus is born, but how do we know the Bible is true? Well, good night. So we started on that one. I had to deal with that one because that's where they all were. And 2.5 hours later, we never did get back to that Bible study. In fact, we went to another Bible study. But if that's where they are, you got to deal with it. Now, there's no such thing as failing in leading a Bible study. It's really not. I mean, I have led some Bible studies. My first Bible study that I led, gang, listen, it was sad city. But the people learned something. They grew, to my amazement. There's no such thing as failing, because if you get together, pray, ask God to use His Word, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes God's Word and uses it as the sword of the Spirit in their lives. If they're sinners, He does it convicting them of sin and righteousness of judgment to come. If they're already Christians, He uses it as a sword to get to the issues, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow. He gets down to the issues. So you don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to do it. So there's no such thing as a failure in leading a Bible study.